Well, Alec, I'm glad we're not just talking about the first quarter of that that football game last week.
Yeah, it started slow. That was pretty rough to watch against Marshall. That's not good. But they got it together. They played well in the second half. So a win's a win.
Yeah, they did. And like we said, the first quarter was ugly. NC State just couldn't get anything going on offense. I mean, first quarter, Marshall outgained the Pack 166 to 88 in total yardage. More than half of that total for the Pack came on that long scramble for Ryan Finley on the first play of the game. The defense was not good. Really, for the offense started to get it going in the second quarter. The defense really was not good for the entire first half.
No, they weren't. And if your offense is relying on Ryan Finley to pick up half of your yards on the ground, that's never a good thing. It started slow, and it was tough to watch. But the offense settled in. The defense definitely does have some question marks. I mean, that was supposed to be the strong unit on this team, and they haven't been super impressive either game this year.
Yeah, I would agree, especially in that first half against Marshall. Again, you know, that one receiver for Marshall, Tyree Brady, just absolutely burned NC State. I mean, they just could not cover him. It was Jonathan Alston, who's continued to struggle a little bit, having made that transition from corner to wide receiver. But the defense does settle in the second half, did play extremely well in the second half. I mean, NC State shut Marshall out completely in that second half. Bradley Chubb gets his first sack of the year. They force a couple turnovers there in the fourth quarter. So really, I do think encouraging to see them kind of fight through those early struggles and bounce back.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 27 unanswered to end the game. That's what you want to see if you're struggling early. The team, obviously, State's a lot better team than Marshall. They came out slow. Sometimes that happens in these games. But what's important is being able to settle in, play your game, and just dominate, which was what State did in the second half.
Yeah, and I mean, the run defense, aside from one play, continues to be good. They allowed 50-plus yards on one rush for running back Keon Davis in that first quarter. He finished the game with 74 yards. So stuffing the run continues to be the bread and butter for this NC State team. It's that pass defense and allowing those big plays down the field that continues to be worrisome. But there's a lot of inexperience in that secondary. There's been some injuries. Some good news on that front. Senior cornerback Mike Stevens, who's been out, continues to make progress. Dave Doran said this morning they are not sure if he's going to play this week or not. They're going to get him into practice tomorrow, hopefully get him through a full week of practice, and they'll know more Thursday about whether or not he's going to play for sure. But it definitely does sound like, even if he doesn't play this week against Furman, that he will return in the ACC opener against Florida State in 2 weeks, and that'll be a huge boost for this NC State football team.
Yeah, that's definitely something they need. That injury was really bad for State at a really bad time. Shouldn't need him against Furman either way, but it would be great to see him back. That would take a lot of the pressure off. Alston, as you said, is making the transition. Probably wasn't supposed to start at the corner position, and now he's been throwing to that starting job. He has some upside. He made some really good plays against South Carolina, but taking that pressure off, getting Stevens back in there, should be really good for State's secondary.
Yeah, I agree. And again, we started to see, you know, some more promise from that front seven and that defensive line. Started to see them being able to get in the backfield, get to the quarterback, pick up tackles for loss the way we expected. Linebacker Arius Moore really played a good game. He had the interception in the end zone in the fourth quarter to preserve NC State's second half shutout. But one thing I do want to talk about, two games so far, notwithstanding that first quarter against Marshall, this offense has looked really good. Ryan Finley has played great. First quarterback for NC State since Philip Rivers in 2003, correct me if I'm wrong, Philip Rivers, he turned out okay, did he not?
Yeah, I think he's doing all right.
Yeah, but first one since Philip Rivers in 2003 to go over 300 yards in back-to-back games to open the season.
Yeah, definitely. Finley looks really good throwing the ball, and a lot of that is the receiving core, who also has looked really good, especially Kelvin Harmon. I think he's been absolutely fantastic for this team, 100 yards in two straight games. He had a touchdown this week. He made some great catches. He's looked really good for this team.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of funny after the game the other night. You know, you look at Kelvin Harmon with his size and his route running and his ability to go up and make those contested catches. the offensive players were saying after the game against Marshall, when they look out and they see Kelvin Harmon in one-on-one coverage, they call that a yes because they know he's going to catch the football.
Yeah, definitely. He's been sure-handed for the Pack this season, and he's looked really good. Along with him, Jalen Samuels is getting a lot more touches than he did last year. He had an incredible catch this week. So it's good to see both of them really working in the receiving game. Finley looks good throwing the ball. So that offense is really moving. The rushing game was a question the first week. It did look better this week. Reggie Gillespie had a few good carries, two touchdowns, but that's something that's still going to need to improve for State.
Yeah, it definitely picked up as the second half went along. And one mark to look at there, you saw in the first week, Finley threw over 60 passes. Definitely not something NC State wants. He cut that almost in half this week, only attempted 36. Again, Gillespie does get going in the run game in the second half. You know, the offensive line, that's been an issue. They got Tyrone Prescott back healthy this week. They will have Will Richardson back from suspension against Furman. So that's something to watch, really, what the run game can do within the first game that NC State's actually going to have the starting five on the offensive line that it thought it would have to start the season.
Yeah, the offensive line coming in was one of the big strong points for this offense, and it's been pretty shaky to start the season. I mean, injury, suspension, but getting everyone back, getting the five that you want on the field is going to help the run game for sure. In turn, that's going to help Finley continue to be good and something State's going to need on offense.
Yeah, and another player whose performance I was really encouraged by was wide receiver Steph Lewis. He was NC State's leading receiver last year. Had a tough performance against South Carolina. He had the fumble. Comes back, five catches, 73 yards, and a touchdown. A huge touchdown. NC State's first of the game in that second quarter when things were really starting to look ugly for the Wolfpack to kind of bring them back into the game. Talking to Dave Doran this morning, said that, you know, Lewis is a tough kid. He worked a lot on ball security in practice last week, and then it really hurt him that he hurt the team with that turnover, and he comes back with a great bounce back performance.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see that for him. He had a really good year last year. It was Finley's main target, kind of go-to man, the only receiver last year that really was consistently good. He looked good. I mean, 73 yards, five receptions, a touchdown. That's what you want to see from him moving forward. Another receiver for Finley to throw the ball to.
Definitely. And I want to go back a second just because it was so spectacular. You mentioned that catch for Jalen Samuels. I mean, tips it three times, doesn't bring it in until he's laying on his back on the turf. We got used to seeing a few SportsCenter highlights for NC State during basketball season last year with Dennis Smith Jr., but that certainly was one for Jalen Samuels. And I mean, is there anything that guy can't do?
No, that's just pure athleticism and awareness. I mean, that catch was incredible to be able to maintain focus on the ball, falling like that, bobble it, and come up with a catch. That's really good football.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the better plays I've seen in my time covering college football here. And again, I think that balance on offense is going to be the key going forward, especially when you start playing against teams in the ACC like Florida State, Clemson, Louisville, because you're not going to be able to just continue to throw it. They're going to want to find a way to stop you. B, you're going to want to be able to establish the ground game, keep the clock moving, get your defense a break, keep them off the field for a little bit against some of those high-octane offenses, especially when you're facing someone like Louisville with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, definitely. You can't go into the ACC schedule with some of the defenses you're playing and rely on passing as much as they have so far. Because even this week where the rushing was better, I mean, 164 yards on the ground, but 51 of those were from Finley, and you're not going to count on that every week. The rushing needs to get better if they want to have a chance against the Clemsons, the Louisvilles, the better defenses in this conference.
Well, NC State will move forward with another home game this week. Final tune-up game before ACC play against the Furman Paladins. This is one that NC State should... We said this about Marshall, but I mean, this is one NC State should win by a lot. This is an FCS opponent, 0-2 against Wofford and Elon. One thing to watch for in this game, our favorite, and I'm sure it's going to be Doran and defensive coordinator Dave Huxtable's favorite by the end of the game, Furman does run that triple option.
Yeah, it's tricky to play against that triple option. Obviously, Georgia Tech is the one that does it the best. Regardless of that, it is Furman. They obviously haven't played well this year. Wofford and Elon aren't necessarily the best opponents. State needs to win this game, and State needs to win this game by a lot.
I agree. I think it's two things. It's one final opportunity to get out there and work on what you need to work on against an inferior opponent before you go into ACC play. Hopefully get Mike Stevens back, kind of get that secondary piece together, get them playing, really figure out the run game again. I like Reggie Gillespie running up the middle. That started to work out. I'm still seeing too much Nyheim Hines running up the middle. It just doesn't work. He's not big. Maybe with that offensive line together, they can open up a better hole for him. But I really think the way to go with that is Gillespie running up the middle and using Hines on jet sweeps and end arounds. I just don't see why you would have a player who's that small running up the middle when you can use him on other plays and you've got another option to do that in Gillespie.
Yeah, definitely. Gillespie is a big guy. He can pound it in. I mean, he had pounded in two touchdowns this week. Hines is a quick playmaker. I completely agree with that, that Hines needs to be utilized for jet sweeps, for running outside the tackles. But when you're inside the tackles, it has to be Gillespie, and he has to be better.
Yeah, I think so. So those are two things. Again, you'll have your first game for that offensive line. Get them together and kind of gel. So hopefully NC State can really come out, put in a good performance here at home, feel confident going into Florida State as they set out to accomplish what they're looking to do in ACC play. But that'll do it for American football. Alec, I believe you and our guests are going to talk a little traditional football here.
Yeah, talk some NC State soccer. The men's and women's team both having pretty good seasons so far.
Well, I'm going to turn it into you and our soccer writer, Jeremy Fellman, to talk about the action this past week.
Well, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for being here. You ready to talk some soccer?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right, let's just dive right in. So State's men's soccer team is now 3-1 on the season, but they beat number 3 Clemson Friday night. It was the first time they've beat the Tigers since 2008. It was new head coach George Kiefer's first ACC game. Just talk about that game a little bit.
I mean, that's really what you're looking for when you get a new head coach is that signature win. And Kiefer got it, well, 3 games into the season, really, because the 3rd game was canceled due to weather. So, I mean, I really think that shows kind of what Kiefer brings to this NC State soccer program. And 3 games in, you're beating a number 3 team in the nation. I think that kind of speaks for itself. 1-0, it was a great game to be at. And just incredible win.
Yeah, definitely. It was an exciting win for State, for sure. Talk about it being a signature win for Kiefer. It's only his 3rd game, first ACC game. You go back, you contrast that to Kelly Finley's career at State. He spent 6 years here. He only got 9 ACC wins. And honestly didn't have a win as big as this. So Kiefer's definitely making his move early. But a few things on that game. State's defense looked incredible. They were impenetrable. And goal freshman Leon Kropf looked incredible. He made 5 saves. Most of them were really spectacular. That was a huge pickup for Kiefer because that was a big question coming into the year.
Oh, for sure. Replacing senior McCauley last year, kind of wondering who's going to be that goalie, which is really the anchor of the defense for any team. And freshman Leon Kropf is, I mean, he had an outstanding game, having 5 saves, 3 of which were just phenomenal. Probably should have been goals by Clemson. And so you really have to pat him on the back for helping out the team, because without him in the net, we might not have come out with the win there.
Yeah, definitely. While the defense looked good, he kept them in it for sure. And Kropf, he's a freshman. He's from Germany. He spent the last 8 years in Nuremberg's Academy. That's a Bundesliga 2 team, which is the 2nd tier in Germany. He's also played for the German national team on a youth level a bunch of times. How big of a recruit is that? I mean, how does Kiefer come in, have 3 or 4 months to recruit, and pull someone like that?
Honestly, I'm not sure how he did it. I know that he's only been in Raleigh since, I believe, November. And he turned the NC State recruiting program around. I think we had a top 10 recruiting program this year for the first time since I'm not sure when. I think we can all agree that the Germans are pretty good at soccer. So bringing in a German goalie like Kropf and having him play as well as he did, it was a great pickup for Kiefer.
Yeah, definitely. And more on that recruiting class that came in, going to Europe as well. Freshman Brad Sweeney comes from West Brom Albion's Academy. That's a English Premier League team. And then staying stateside, Manny Perez comes from the Raleigh area, and he's been phenomenal for State as well his freshman year. Scored the lone goal against Clemson early in the game. I think it was the 7th minute. What have you seen from him that's impressed you?
I mean, just watching Manny play this year, he's just a fun guy to watch. The way he composes himself on the field, it almost seems effortless when the ball's at his feet. He's ridiculously quick. And that's really how he scored that goal against Clemson, as we played a ball over the top of the back line. And he just sprinted onto it, outrunning the Clemson defense and finding the back of the net. But the way he composes himself on the field, he's just a fun player to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. He's so quick, so fast. He has 3 goals in 4 games to start his NCAA career. That kind of goes for this whole team. It's a really young team. 7 or 8 freshmen or transfers getting significant starting time. And the word I would use for that game against Clemson would be composed. They looked like the better team against a Clemson team that's returning 7 starters from an Elite Eight squad. I think it's really impressive. I think it shows how good of a coach George Kiefer is, that he can have so many young guys playing and playing that well. But it's not all young guys, and State picked up another win Sunday night against Longwood, a 2-1 win. Tanner Roberts scored both goals. He's a local guy. He's a junior. Talk about Tanner Roberts. He's kind of working into that starting striker role.
Yeah, so Tanner, he's been on the team. He's a junior now, so he's been on the team 3 years. He has split time with Ade Taiwo in the past, but he's been the starter for the Wolfpack so far this year. Watching him on the field, he gets beat up a lot. I think it's just because he can always find himself in the right position to try to make a play. And the goals, they didn't come in the first 3 games, but again, last night against Longwood, scoring 2. I think he's going to have a breakout season this year.
Yeah, and along with those 2 goals he had Sunday night, Friday against Clemson, he had a bunch of really good looks. I thought he was going to find the back of the net at some point. He's a really good striker, and he's really working well. And you talked about Ade Taiwo. He's a really talented guy, but he has had so much trouble with injuries, a few knee surgeries already. But he is playing some. He looks healthy. If he's healthy, that's someone that State can really benefit from having. Another player that State's been without before the Longwood game was last year's leading scorer in Julius Duscher. He did play about 30 minutes against Longwood. How big is it for State to have that back, experienced attacking midfielder that knows how to score?
That's really, you can't really compare it to anything else as that experience, because like you said earlier, Kiefer brought in a lot of new guys, a lot of freshmen, a lot of transfers, and we have a completely different team, men's soccer this year. But having a player like Duscher on the field, it goes without saying that that experience kind of, he can lead the team. Like you said, he was the team leader in goals scored last year. And seeing him back on the field after his injury is it's a good sign for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And with all that youth in this program, there is still some experience. Obviously, the coaching staff is new and a bunch of transfers and freshmen. But when you look at Duscher, Tanner Roberts, guys like Steven Elias and Simon Blotko, there is some returning talent. The core group of guys last year coming back, but now filled in with these freshmen and these transfers that are really skilled players. So this team looks like it could maybe do some things this year. Obviously, playing in the ACC is tough, but I think it's definitely going to be a better year for NC State's men's soccer. It can't get much worse.
That's true. I think last year it was 5 wins, either 0 or 1 ACC win.
They won one ACC
game. ACC win. So already got that one off with beating Clemson. The thing is with playing in the ACC is there are no easy nights. I think looking at the schedule ahead, they have 4 or 5 straight ranked matchups against ACC opponents. You got to bring your A game every night if you want to survive in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really young team. And now switching gears a little bit to a team that is also really young, but comes with some experience, the NC State women's soccer team. They're 6-1. It's their best start since 2011. Obviously, last year, they made a Sweet 16 run in the NCAA tournament with a team of mostly freshmen. They look good this year, 6-1. What have you seen from them in games you've been at?
So I think the big thing coming out this season is how would the team compare to last season's breakout team, where they won 11 games and got a few good ACC wins again in a tough conference. And seeing them come out this year, they're 6-1. Their lone loss comes to a undefeated, currently undefeated Princeton team. And they've been scoring a ridiculous amount of goals. I believe they lead the ACC in goals scored right now. But with sophomore Ziara King and Kia Ranking, they're just putting balls in the back of the net, and they're winning games. They won yesterday again to close out their non-conference slate before their first ACC matchup against Virginia. So yesterday they beat
Davidson,
4-0, and they had complete control the entire game.
Yeah, definitely. They're scoring a ton of goals, 4 against Davidson, 5 against Elon last week. And you mentioned King. She has 6 goals in 7 games. Rankin has 3 goals and 2 assists. Behind them, Ricky Walkling and Paige Griffiths both have 2 goals. That group is all sophomores. There's 4 people scoring their goals, assisting their goals, really being the main pieces on this team. And they're all part of that freshman class last year. Really impressive that they can be so good right now. But they do have some experience with them as well. Rachel Cox is a senior. She has 3 goals as well. The one question right now for the women's team is in goal. Sydney Wooten had a really good year last year. She's a junior. She hasn't played in over a week due to an injury. How important is she to the state team?
Like I said earlier, the goalie is really the anchor of the defense, and having somebody back there that has experience playing with the team, as Wooten did, coming in as a junior, starting all 22 games last year as a sophomore, that's really a vital piece of any team. However, in her stead, I know it's a freshman. Her name's slipping right now, but she's been playing well. Hopefully we can, or NC State can get Wooten back eventually, but right now the play hasn't been lacking.
Yeah, freshman Grayson Cameron has compiled about 300 minutes, only 1 goal against actually in those 4 matches, so she looks really good. Granted, Davidson, Elon, East Carolina are those games. Heading into ACC play, you want Wooten back. But this team's good enough and deep enough that they should be able to win a lot of ACC games this year, as tough as it is, and make the NCAA tournament again.
And it's really hard to tell at this point in the season because NC State has not played any ACC opponents, with the first game coming Friday against Virginia. And after that match, seeing how the Wolfpack fare, I think we'll have a better idea of how good this team is.
Yeah, definitely. And that goes for the men's and women's team as well. Obviously, the men have the Clemson win now, but for both teams heading into the ACC schedule, that's when you really see how good they are, because there isn't a conference in either men's or women's soccer that's better. Looking ahead to the men's schedule, they play on the road at number 6 Notre Dame this week. A week later, they have number 2 Wake Forest at home, and then number 10 UNC the next week. They have games against Syracuse, who's number 7, Virginia, who's number 11, UNCW at number 15, Louisville's ranked 8. That is an insanely tough schedule for this really young team to have to play through. And that starts this week with Notre Dame. It started last week with Clemson. If George Kiefer can coach this team through that ACC schedule and even be 500, I think that would be an incredible mark for this NC State team this year.
Yeah, looking back at NC State men's soccer teams of the past, specifically last year and the year before, you get into that slate because the ACC men's soccer conference is just ridiculous with how many good teams are in there. And you get into facing those opponents week in and week out, and you can kind of drown in just the rankings and how good these teams are. And if you don't get one win in there, you can pile up 5-6 losses in a row, which is really detrimental to the whole season. So it'll be interesting to see how Kiefer plans out this coming schedule and to see how the Wolfpack do.
Yeah, definitely. I do think he has the right mentality. He very much seems to be taking it as a one game at a time type approach. Even after the Clemson win, he was very quick to go to the Longwood match and say that's where their focus needed to be. And I think that's the right mentality when you're going through this ACC schedule, one game at a time, because you can't look ahead, because if you look ahead, you just get overwhelmed with how good the teams you have coming up are. But they beat Clemson, who was ranked number 3, and they can pick up wins against some of these teams. And it doesn't take much to get yourself into the ACC tournament, the NCAA tournament, when you're playing in the ACC. A 500 record in conference should do that. I think this team is capable of that if they're playing well, but obviously it'll be how Kiefer coaches them. And then on the women's side, again, they have number 8 Virginia coming up this week. The ACC women's is almost as tough as the ACC men's. They have tons of hard games coming up as well, and it's the same thing, a young team, but it's how they handle that. And last year they handled it pretty well.
Yeah, last year, after going winless in conference for 2 years in a row in 2016, they won quite a few conference games, and it was really surprising to the nation with how well NC State fared. Seeing how the team bounces back after returning most of its starters this year and maybe picking up a few more ACC wins, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, the women's team went 4-5-1 in conference last year, and that's a losing record, but playing in the ACC, that's a pretty good feat. And that got them into the NCAA tournament, where they picked up another huge win against a top 10 Minnesota team, then a top 20 Pepperdine team to get them into the Sweet 16 round, which was almost unbelievable from that team. Coming the 2 years before, they really weren't good, and to be able to go that far was impressive. And I think when you look at the men's team where they're at right now, it's a very similar looking thing. They've had two of their worst years that you can imagine, and now they have a lot of young players that are playing talented. It'll be interesting to see if they can maybe not mimic that, what the women's team did last year, but at least try to play almost as well.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny if you go and look and try to compare last year's women's team with this year's men's team, you can find some parallels. Like you said, the couple seasons beforehand were winning 4 or 5 games, not doing well at all. A year ago, the women's team, they were young, they were doing well. They went into North Carolina and defeated Chapel Hill while they were ranked in the top 10 to get that big signature win early in the season, and it kind of set the tone for the rest of the season. You look at the men's team this year, welcome Clemson and knock them off top 3, setting the tone for the ACC schedule for the rest of the year. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, definitely. To be able to get that game early with all the freshmen, I mean, that group of Rankin, King, Griffiths on the women's side. This year, the men's team, just starters, Manny Perez, David Norris, Brad Sweeney, David Loera, are all freshmen, Kropf as well. It's a young team, but it's a parallel team to that women's team last year, so it should be interesting to see if they can win some games and maybe make a run for the NCAA tournament.
For sure.
All right, well, I think that'll do it for the soccer talk. Thanks for joining us, Jeremy.
Oh, for sure. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, definitely.
Always good to talk some soccer.
Well, that was a great one. Alec, when it comes to soccer, you and Jeremy certainly know your stuff.
Yeah. It's exciting times in NC State soccer for both the men's and the women's team. These teams should just continue to get better, so it's fun to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. You know, definitely a good thing to focus on, shed some light on, that we've got these programs that are doing really well. Hopefully the football program can join them shortly with a win this week and maybe some big wins in ACC play as that comes up. That's about all we've got for this week. Next week, we'll be back on talking about all the NC State sports action and previewing a big one as NC State will be heading down to Tallahassee to take on the Florida State Seminoles. For this week's First in Tech, I'm your host, sports editor Andrew Schnicker.
And I'm assistant sports editor Alex Sawyer.
And that'll do it for this week. Thanks again for listening, guys.